Matthew chapter 22, I want to draw your attention to verse 35. It says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Here we have a lawyer asking Jesus a question. Now, a lawyer in Bible times does not mean the same profession as it does today, though perhaps just as despised. It was somebody who was a master of the Old Testament law. Somebody that knew very well the law of God inside and out. But many times, ladies and gentlemen, it was just here in the head. I think we've all heard the story of the three sons who had wanted to do something well for their elderly mother. And the one son had done very well as a doctor. He had bought her a new house. The second son knew that mom loved to drive, and so he bought her a convertible. The third son, wanting to do something different, knowing how his mother loved the Bible, had got a parrot and trained it in the Psalms. Literally trained it to repeat the Psalms. Psalm 1, right? And it would repeat it out. So the mother wrote letters back to all the children and said to the first, "Frederick, the house is too large. I can't clean it. It takes too long." She wrote to the second one, "Daniel, the convertible is terrible. It messes up my hair every time I drive." Then she wrote to the last one and said, "William, you're the only one that understands me. The chicken was wonderful." You know, a parrot can repeat the Bible. Amen? This is the Pharisees were here, this master of the law. He knew the Bible. It says, he came tempting him, it says. All through his ministry, these religious Jews tried to catch Jesus in His words. But you know what? They never did they?
No.
You know why? Because He's God. You can't catch God in His words. Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be God, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us. Here the lawyer thought he could silence Jesus on this question. By the way, it's fascinating. You take the time to read Matthew chapter 22, the entire chapter, and you'll find that three groups tried to silence Jesus. The Herodians tried to silence Him on tribute. The Sadducees tried to silence Him on the resurrection. And then the Pharisees tried to silence Him on the law. It's interesting, if you look at your Bibles with me, look at verse number 22, and Jesus, when He had put the Herodians to silence, it says, "When they had heard these words, they marveled and left Him and went their way." Then in verse 33, when Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence, it says, "And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at His doctrine." And after unbelief and worldliness and rationalism had been defeated, formalism came forward with its preoccupation with keeping the law. Look at verse 46. It says, "And no man was able to answer Him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask Him any more questions." But ladies and gentlemen, the lawyer's question remains. What's the greatest commandment? Our Lord did not hesitate. Look at verse 37 in your Bibles, please. And it says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that God loves me. And He loves you too. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Say, how do you know God loves you? Because He loved me even when I was a lost sinner. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know, I'm sure He loves the rocks and the hills and the trees, but He loves people. He loves people. John 4:10, R.A. Torrey called this the greatest sentence in the Bible. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible clearly tells us of God's unconditional love for us. But ladies and gentlemen, though God, and by the way, it's scripturally obvious and unquestioned to those that choose to live by faith, though God loves me, may I say that we should love God too. If I were to ask you today, what would be the greatest sin that a Christian could commit? Matter of fact, just a few weeks ago we preached on the deadliest sin, which is pride. Pride is the deadly sin. Pride will cause apathy. Pride will cause you to just simply not care whether you go to eternity or whether anybody else does or not. By the way, you are going to eternity. One way or another. One place or another. But I'd probably get several answers on the greatest sin. Some would probably say murder. Terrible sin. Terrible sin. Rape. To sell drugs to children. Oh, that's awful. That just makes my blood boil. It makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Adultery, to break up a home and a family. Abortion. Terrible sin. Every day. Every day in our country. Over and over and over. To deny the fundamentals of the faith. To just not believe that Jesus was virgin born or the blood atonement. All those. And by the way, we could keep listing probably for an hour. But I think that the Scriptures would imply that the greatest sin would be to break the greatest commandment. If it's the greatest commandment, if it's the great commandment, then it sure would be a great sin to disobey that. Amen? Amen? Jesus said in verse 37 that we should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then He says in verse 39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you take the moral law, the Ten Commandments, if you will keep the great commandment, then you will not have any other gods before you. Amen? You'll not make a graven image and bow down to it. You'll not use the Lord's name in vain. You'll keep the Sabbath, the Lord's day. And then if you will love your neighbor as yourself, that second commandment that's like unto the great commandment, you will honor your parents, young people, and older people. You will not kill. You will not steal. You will not commit adultery. You'll not lie to your neighbor. You'll not covet from your neighbor. And this is what Jesus was saying when He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Why is it important that we love God supremely? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't in our Christian life, not much else matters. Because Jesus said this was the great commandment. That means it's important. Amen? I think of that church in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. Good church. The church where if you and I, Brother Sammons, if we lived in the Ephesian area, we'd probably be members there. Solid church. A church where they had good works. Jesus commended them for their works. They labored. They had patience. They were long-suffering with people. God help us, ladies and gentlemen, Christians, those of us that have been saved a few years, to be long-suffering with people. I was thinking about that yesterday. Brother Leonard and I made a visit on a dear friend of his, I believe he has mesothelioma, the asbestos lung. And he asked him, Brother Tim was talking to him, he said, tell us how you got saved. And he mentioned this man that was pastoring and led him to the Lord. And by the way, every one of us is the product of a patient Christian in our lives. Somebody that either led us to Christ or helped us along in our faith. You say, not me. Well, if you've attended a Sunday school class, yes, you. Somebody in that class brought you along. If you ever rode a bus in your life, it was because somebody patiently brought you along. There's no self-made men or women in this room today. Amen. They were patient at this church. They labored. They could not bear them which were evil. This was a church that preached on sin. Hated sin. By the way, we don't hate sinners. Come on, church. Amen. But we still preach on and hate sin. They did that there. They tried them, which were false apostles. They were a separated church. They were the kind of church that you and I would want to be part of. They had held up under pressure, and they labored and did not faint. But at the end of all the commendation that Jesus had about them, He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Repent, therefore, and do the first works. Jesus had one specific thing. He said, you don't love me like you used to. I want to talk to you today about the great commandment out of the Scriptures. Number one, I want you to notice the motivation of the great commandment. And we don't travel a lot in our Bibles on Sunday morning, but I'd like to do a little traveling this morning. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And just catch up when you get there. If you don't worry about it. I'm going to read it aloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, that's a lot of good works there in those first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. Amen? Boy, tell you what, giving all that you have, having the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith so that I could remove mountains. Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, you know what? If I don't have charity or love, no profit whatsoever. No good. You know what? All of our service, Christian, I'm talking to Christians now. All of our service not motivated by love for God, love for Christ, will not receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be wood, hay, and stubble. Well, some will say, well, if I'm not going to receive a reward, then I ought not to serve at all. No. If duty is the only reason you serve Him, that's a good reason to serve Him. Amen. Serve Him out of duty. But it sounds like the man that I've talked about before that said, Pastor, should I give my tithe if I give it grudgingly? And the pastor wisely said, yes, because then you'll only be guilty of one sin and not two. You'll be guilty of giving grudgingly, but you won't be guilty of robbing God. Listen, folks, we ought to serve Him. Why? Because we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. The motivation of the great commandment. Number two, the solution of the great commandment. Did you know every problem in every church is a love problem? Every problem in every church is a love problem. Someone asked the great missionary statesman Hudson Taylor, Mr. Taylor, do you think that the number one requirement for missionaries is that they love souls? J. Hudson Taylor said, no. The number one requirement for missionaries is that they love God If they love God, they will love souls. And boy, is that true. The solution is love for God, obeying the great commandment. When I love God like I'm supposed to, I love souls and I see them as eternal souls for whom Jesus died. Did you know the Apostle Peter, that great preacher of Pentecost, quit the ministry? John chapter 21, you can read it on your own. John chapter 21, it says, "And after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to His disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise He showed Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two of His disciples." And so here we have seven preachers at the seventh post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. Simon Peter said to them, "I go a fishing." He didn't mean that he wanted to go out and catch some dinner. He said, "You know what? Jesus is dead. I'm going back to my old way of life." Brother Merrill, I love how it says he toiled all night and caught nothing. You try a life without Jesus, Christian. You know what you're going to catch? Nothing. You're going to be miserable. You try to live your life without Him, His blessing, without His Word. Went fishing. You know what was bad? That was bad that this preacher quit the ministry, but what was really bad was they said, "We also go with thee." You never quit alone. You never quit. You never quit church alone. You never quit servant. You say, "I'm going to give up my Sunday school." You never quit alone. Somebody's always watching you. Somebody's always looking to you. If you keep reading, it says they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. They caught nothing. And then Jesus told them to cast their net on the right side. And you remember John said, "Hey, that's the Lord." When Peter heard it, he jumped out of the boat and he swam to shore. And three times Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Remember, hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this was Peter that said, "Lord, I'll go with thee to prison and to death." And Brother Hugh, I believe he meant it. He meant it. I know he meant it. You know why? Because when the soldiers came for him, it was Peter that took out the sword. Took a swipe at the high priest's servant. Peter had boasted of his love for Jesus. And Jesus was saying here, "Do you still love me like that, Peter?" Why did Peter quit the ministry? He got cold in his love, didn't he? It's easy. The tendency of a fire is to go out, ladies and gentlemen. You have to keep stoking it to keep it going. I heard the story of a preacher who had a beautiful little girl, 4 years old. Every time the preacher would get in his study and start reading and just trying to get along with God, and this little girl would come in and say, "Daddy, Daddy, give me a quarter. Daddy, Daddy, can I have a dollar for the ice cream man? Daddy?" By the way, that's why I have my study here. Amen. "Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have that?" One day she had worn his patience thin. He was in the study reading and she came into the room and she snuggled up real close to him. And he looked at her real quick and he said, "What do you want this time?" He broke her little heart. Big tears came down her eyes and said, "I don't want anything this time. I just want to tell you that I love you." She put her arms around him and gave him a big hug. You know, this isn't just a place to repent of gross sin, though it is. Place to tell God how much you love Him. Amen? I'm talking about this altar, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it's a place to repent. By the way, it's not just a place to repent of gross sin, it's a place to repent of little sins that turn into gross sin if you don't repent of them. But it's a place to come and just not ask for anything. Though it's okay to ask. Our Father wants us to ask. He spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's lots to ask for. But to tell Him that you love Him. You say, "Does God like that?" Well, you're created in the image of God. Do you like to hear, "I love you"? I sure do. I love it when I drove that bus back from Tennessee and went down to get it on Thursday and came back on Friday. And I said to my boys, I'm just trying and testing them. I said, boys, did you miss me? And they said, yeah, we missed you, Dad. And I said, why? And they said, because we love you. Hey, that'll... Amen. You know what? God likes to hear it. God likes to hear, I love you. I love you. We're made in His image. That's why He said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The motivation, the solution. Number three, the obligation of the great commandment. 1 John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. You know, adherence to the great commandment solves our obedience problems. Really, ladies and gentlemen, because when we get to loving God more than ourselves, we obey Him and not our flesh. Amen? There's a very small number of Christians who just obey God whenever He moves on them to do something. I want to be that kind of Christian. I know in my life since I've been saved, there have been times when He's spoken, when I've not obeyed. There's been other times where I actually embarrassed myself to obey. Usually has to do with a gospel track. I'll have a gospel track and the Lord will impress to witness upon. You've been there. He doesn't speak out loud, but He impresses on your heart to hand that person a gospel track. And I've been two blocks down and said, didn't give it to him, just went, and I come back, you know, and run and track him down and say, I want to give this to you. Amen. Why don't we obey God sometimes? We're just not in love with Him like we should be. Amen. I know it's an oh me point. I'll say oh me with you. If we love God like we should, we'll obey Him. Bob Jones Sr. said, God uses the thermometer of obedience to test the temperature of love. And Bob Jones Sr. is absolutely right. God uses the thermometer of obedience to test the temperature of love. Don't tell me how blessed you are and how much you love God if you will not obey Him. Not all blessings come from God. Amen. Did you know that if you love God like you should, you'll love the brethren? It's a command. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Loving the brethren is an obligation of obedience to the great commandment. And if you're obeying it, you will love the brethren. Listen, there are no people on this earth that I would rather be around than God's people. None. None. Why? Because I want to obey Him, and when I do, I love the brethren. Love the brethren. The obligation of the great commandment. The solution of the great commandment. The motivation of the great commandment. Number four, the jubilation of the great commandment. Did you know that if you love God, if you and I love God like we should, it'll produce joy in our lives? Psalm 5:11. Says, let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Now, if you constantly look like you've been baptized in lemon juice, and rather than coffee in the morning, you're drinking pickle juice out of the jar, you might not be as in love with God as you purport yourself to be. Amen. Because when you love God, when you love Him with all your soul, with all your mind, when you love Him with all that you are, when you're obeying that great commandment, it will produce joy. Oh, I don't mean you'll be silly, but you have joy. So many Christians missing joy. I can tell you why. They're not in love with God. Not in love with Him. It produces joy. The motivation, the solution, the obligation, the jubilation. Number five, the indignation of the great commandment. Ladies and gentlemen, if we love God like we should, we hate sin. We hate sin. I hate what sin's doing to our once great country. I hate it. See it on the rise all over. The Bible says in Psalm 97:10, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." Hate evil. The more you love God, the more you hate evil. Just a fact, amen. The closer you get to God, the more. Why? Because God hates sin. God hates sin, has a hatred for sin. Sin cost Him His only Son. Sin put Jesus on the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an indignation when we have the great commandment. An indignation when we're obeying it. There's a jubilation. There's an obligation. There's a solution, a motivation. Lastly, this morning, the communication of the great commandment. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I've learned in doing marriage counseling through the years of my ministry that when there's a problem, it's usually a failure to communicate. Something bothered one party and they didn't communicate it to the other. You know, the communication of the great commandment is important. Does anybody besides me remember when you first fell in love? I know for some of you, you're thinking, when was that again? Amen. Way back. Amen. I remember when Carrie and I first fell in love. And she lived in Newport News, Virginia, and I lived in Westfield, Massachusetts. And I remember us being on the phone on Sunday nights for hours. My mom probably says, "Yeah, I remember those phone bills when you were on the phone for hours." Amen. It was back when phones had cords. Young people are like, "What?" I saw a video yesterday. A friend of mine posted. He showed his son a rotary phone. His son couldn't work it. That was great. I remember what that was like, and I remember we just used to talk and talk and listen to one another and talk, and she'd mail me letters and I'd mail her letters, and I just couldn't wait to get her letters and to read them and to try to think about what she was saying, and it was just, boy, we were in, it was true love. True love wants to communicate all the time. Yes, it does. Oh, I understand. Listen, you get married and you don't need 15 phone calls at the office every day from your wife or your husband. I understand that. But, well, you get home, you're so glad to see them and so glad. Right now, I'm at that stage with my kids. Boy, I'm Superman when I walk in the door. And I understand very, very soon I'm not going to be Superman. I'm just going to be Clark Kent. Amen. I understand that. But boy, when I open the door now, it's, "Daddy!" Amen. And you kind of have to do one of these because they come at you fast. Amen. I understand. But that's, they just love their daddy. Yes. Amen. They just love their daddy. That's great. There's two ways which we communicate with God. And I'll end with this today and challenge you. We communicate with Him through prayer. Yep. That's how we talk to God. Amen. Now let me challenge you. How much did you talk to God last week?
Not enough.
How much did you talk to God? Oh, listen, I understand the busyness of life. I certainly do. We've got to work. And you know what? If your job requires thinking, you can't be talking to God all day. You need to be working for the boss.
That's right.
Amen. I get a little annoyed with people. "Oh, I witness all day at work." Really? Do you do work? Witness on your break. Witness at lunch. Witness after work. When you're on the job, supposed to make widgets, make widgets. Amen. But how much, you know what? I think sometimes I think about how we talk to God and how we come to Him, and it makes us want to hang our head in shame. "Oh, I love God." Really? You talking to Him? We hang our heads. It's okay, folks. I know it's not a big amen point. That's all right. It ought to get to our hearts, shouldn't it? Do I really love God with all my heart? I never talked to Him. Well, if we really loved Him with all our heart, we'd talk to Him a lot. Go back to when you first got saved. I've joked so many times. I used to have a 40-minute ride from Holyoke, Massachusetts to Windsor Locks, Connecticut for my job. I'd buckle the Lord in next to me, driving. You know, it was before phones. I mean, people must have come up to my vehicle sometimes at a light, seen me talking and seen the seatbelt buckled next to me. They must have thought I was a loon from Dragoon. Amen. What they look over, see me talking, then I look over and I want to talk to Him. I want to talk to Him. Had 40 minutes to talk to Him. You know what else we do when we communicate? We listen. You know how we listen to Him? Brother Craig? Yeah. Mentioned last week in the message that whole campaign of the apostate United Church of Christ, God's still speaking. This is the only place God still speaks. Right here. In His Word. So the second challenge is this. How are you obeying the great commandment in that book right there? Are you talking to Him? Are you letting Him talk to you? You know, God wants to talk to us. God wants to talk to us every day. Take a book of the Bible. Take Proverbs. Oh my. Proverbs. So much wisdom in Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. Just read Proverbs every day of the month. Read Proverbs 17 on the 17th day. I'm doing something now. I've been doing it most of the year. Some of you know is I read 5 Psalms a day. 5 Psalms a day. You know, if you read 5 Psalms a day, you'll get through Psalms in a month. It's 150 Psalms, 30 days in a month. Read His Word. We can't say we love Him. We really can't say we love Him if we don't read His Word. We can't say we love Him if we don't talk to Him. We could say it, but it's not true. Ladies and gentlemen, let's obey the great commandment. Let's obey the great commandment. Let's love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And you know what? When we do that, we'll love our neighbor as ourselves, won't we? It's not hard to love your neighbor when you love God, because God loves your neighbor. Amen? He that loveth his God loveth his brother also. Father, we love You.